All right. So let's say, here's a pretty straightforward one, right? Okay. Let's say, again, this is a hypothetical. Let's say your law partner decides that they need to go to Hawaii to a conference, right? Leaving you, again, this is just a hypothetical, leaving you with 3 horses, 5 chickens, 2 dogs, and 2 hearings you were not aware of. If it is an ECAS case, then you need to file your E-28 and check off non-primary attorney. And that will allow you to go in. Of course, if it's not an ECAS case, you know, you got to do pretty much the same thing, but you got to go downtown to the courthouse, pay your $12 to park, you know, and then enter your appearance and wait until you're called. But again, that's just a hypothetical. So another situation. This is actually a real situation this time. Let's say your client was denied a bond while represented by another attorney, and now there's changed circumstances and you want to request a bond. Well, it's pretty much the same type of process. And this is when I got my E-28 rejected. So I filed an E-28 listing myself as the primary attorney, and it would not accept my E-28 because the system goes, no, wait a minute, there's already a primary attorney that was involved in this case for the bond hearing. So you actually have to go in, and all you do is put yourself as a non-primary so that you can then make your request for a bond hearing. At least I'm waiting on that to be accepted, so I think that'll work. So let's say you got a client who had a bond before. So your client, you know, this happens every once in a while. You get a client, you get them a bond before the merits hearing. Hey, they get arrested again. So how do you request another bond hearing? Pretty much it's the same thing. You have to file another E-28 with a motion for the bond hearing, and you have to upload your request for a bond hearing. All right, WebEx. So now WebEx is the internet-based hearings. We no longer refer to them as WebEx, and that's as of David Neal's memo on August 11th, 2022. There's some contradiction in terms of what is the default for hearings, whether you have to appear in court or whether you appear by WebEx. They're still trying to figure that out. Because of COVID, we developed this whole WebEx system, and so the default was that it was going to be WebEx. Now they're trying to go to, the judge is going to decide which way you're going to go, whether it's going to be WebEx or in person. So here's a little cheesement for you, a little rumor that's out there. EORR is going to release a new notice of hearing, and it will tell you whether it's going to be in person or it's going to be internet-based. And then you get to file your motion if you don't agree. But the problem, I've got the outline here. So the problem is, as you read through this memo, is that it gives a lot of power to the judges to decide how they want to conduct the hearing. From the point of whether the judge wants to do it from his home virtually and you show up in person, or everybody's virtual, or they allow your client who's out of town to be virtual, or your expert. And so it is a lot of discretion that is left to the judge, and headquarters is really not giving them mandatory guidance as to how these hearings should be conducted. It's very much on a case-by-case basis. I know we have a judge, a particular judge in Dallas, for instance, who is one of those not even Facebook, who prefers everybody to be in person. He can't handle the virtual thing, the WebEx. And then you have other judges who want to go purely WebEx. So those are things that are coming up. You know, it says that an immigration judge should accommodate a request for witnesses to appear remotely where such a request is reasonable, but it doesn't say they must. If a respondent and counsel are both appearing remotely, They may appear either together or from different locations. May, again, there is no requirement that a respondent and counsel appear together from counsel's office. So, interesting, if you guys don't do a lot of, haven't done a lot of this, I personally, and I don't know how everybody else feels, I don't think it's a real good idea to have your client somewhere else. I just haven't seen it work real well. Again, a lot of these clients don't know about that little microphone on the bottom left-hand corner. So, and then, you know, they don't know they're being called and things like that, and they don't know what's going on, and it looks bad. So, what else? If a participant in an internet-based hearing has not connected, oh, this is interesting. So let's say your client has a hard time getting on, or you're having a hard time getting on, but the judge is on, and the judge is saying the Cisco system is working great. There's nothing that says that they should continue the case. The judge could issue an in absentia. Again, these are not things that we're facing yet, but we will be facing very soon. You know, we get all kinds of approaches to due process on the bench. I guess that's a nice way to put it. So we may be facing some issues with, you know, in absentias being issued where they shouldn't have been issued. I know last week I had a merits case. In the middle of the merits case, there was an outage nationwide with the whole Cisco system, so all of WebEx went down. I could see the judge, but the judge couldn't hear me. And frankly, if it was a situation where...